but I heard you had a great discussion. Hopefully adjusted to what everybody would have liked to see us do, so I think that's the bulk of the agenda today. I'm probably not the one to look at the minutes and say whether that was the case or not, but I'd look for a motion for somebody that was at the meeting. Do the...
We can all move their approval as presented.
Okay, is there a second to that?
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
I never want to get crossways with my union friend, so let him have the second.
He was teasing you earlier, the neighbors here and employers aren't. I'll pass these around.
That's how it works in real life.
Just pointed out the obvious.
For those of you on the telephone, I'm passing around an organizational chart. We've done some re-swizzling. After Jeff Landwood left the department for a new opportunity, appointed Greg Paris to replace him as deputy, and then we've done some re-swizzling of how the organization looks based on skills and experience for both the two deputies. So I just share that with you, and if Michelle, if you want to send it to the folks on the phone, you can just see how we're organized. It's our major divisions and then all of our admin. So we've filled all of our slots at this point, so we're prepared and ready for the session and can continue to move forward as a department. So that gives you a sense of who's who in the DWS zoo. So.
Was that included in the documents that were sent out?
It was not, so we'll send that to you shortly after the meeting.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, we'll get it to you. Okay, I think that's turning it to you, if you're ready for that.
John, before
yes,
you move on
yeah.
from that,
yep.
I'm just working over this. Is Kathy going to be handling so legislative stuff?
Can you tell how happy she is? She's
okay.
She's been eyeball deep in this for about 3 months in preparation
okay.
for it. So.
So you're going to do all the.
She'll take all the legislative work.
Yep.
So she.
Not too late to ask for a raise.
Sorry.
Thank you.
She's doing a terrific job. It's her first session basically on her own. She mentored, or Jeff mentored her a lot last year, and she shadowed a lot of the way that he was running legislative work for us. She's ready to go, and she'll work circles around what Landwood was doing.
Hey, man, thank you.
So she's ready to go, and of course I'll be up there when she wants me in certain places. She'll make sure working on things important to the department. Okay.
All right, let's talk council appointments and vacancies. So Jan Zogmeister, who's currently on the phone. Hi, Jan. Was kind enough to accept a position on our council as a public representative. Her and her husband are co-owners of the National Battery Sales, which operates in a three-state area, and they also have locations in Ogden and Logan. In addition to that, Jan currently serves on the Weber County Homeless Charitable Trust, and she's also chair of the Positive Assistance Action Group and a trustee for Sutherland Institute. So Jan, if you'd like to take a few moments and just introduce yourself to the group.
Well, I hate to do my first meeting via conference call, but I am glad to join the group. I have been involved with committees having to do with business for the last 35 years, and look forward to working with this group. I've read through the minutes and activities that you're talking. It's an important work, and it's nice to come onto a committee that's in such a good, strong position. A lot of the activity that's going on, you know, I'm familiar with, having been an employer. And just finished serving 8 years as a Weber County Commissioner. So I'm back a little time in my business, love being back in business, but very happy to still be involved in community activities in a variety of different ways. So thank you for inviting me.
Welcome, Jen. And so right now that does take our vacancy count down to one for public representative. So if y'all have anyone that you'd like to recommend for the position, just let myself or John know. We'd be happy to consider that.
I know that there were some discussions last time about, her first name is a little left me, but Jason Perry's wife.
Yes.
Serving in that capacity.
I don't recall. Is it Mary?
Mary Mary Catherine.
Mary Catherine, that's right.
Did we reach out to her or to Bill or?
We did reach out to her, and to my understanding, it wasn't going to work with her schedule. So I'll follow up on that to see if there is any options.
Other ideas for a public representative?
I have a good friend of mine who's the executive director of International Refugee Committee.
Patrick?
Patrick, you know Patrick?
I know him well, yeah. Do you think that he'd be interested in something like that?
I don't know. I mentioned it to him a couple of years ago, but nothing happened. I'm not sure if he was contacted or. He's pretty busy.
He is. He's got that regional role going on right now, too. So I can touch base with him and see if that's something he's going to do as well. But I know he's doing a lot of regional work for the IRC right now. So. But I'll reach out. He's a good one, yeah.
So what's he doing now?
He's the director of the International Refugee Committee.
Yeah.
And they take refugees who come into the country and find employment for them, they settle them. In fact, this last fall, I went out to see the goat herd that they're raising out on Kennecott land.
That's one of our projects. Imagine that, we're into goat herds as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's really cool because they get the land from Rio Tinto. Uh-huh. And they do weed remediation, and they get paid, I think, per goat, something like that anyway.
Gerald Brown, who's our Refugee Service Office Director, and Patrick started that project. So I've heard all about the goat farm. I haven't been out there yet.
But the day I went out,
I get regular updates and pictures of the goats on the farm.
They got loose somehow. The electric fence fell down, and they were all over the place.
Yep. I will reach out to Patrick. If that's not going to fit with his schedule, if you have other ideas, let me know. I'll reach out to folks.
Are we looking for something in particular? Some particular skill set? Some particular involvement? Or is it not so much just
you tell me what kind of skill set would you like us to look for?
I don't know. I don't know what the answer to that is, but I think we all know lots of people, but we're looking for something in particular we might be able to.
Do you think it specifies that seat on what we should look for?
In terms of the statute, it just says a public representative. My inclination is some sort of connection to the community, diplomacy, educated on legislative matters. To what extent their involvement is, I think, is negotiable.
Sounds pretty open. Mm-hmm. Well, good. Do you have ideas? I'm willing to consider.
You know, but it would be.
All right, let's move on to the next item on the agenda. Potential legislation for 2015. So this is related to the workforce services amendment that we discussed in our last meeting. After that meeting, we put together a work group. Dave and Dee and Dale were kind enough to join us, where we sat down with the Department of Labor Wage and Hour Division and received some information regarding what they would want to request and what they would do with the information. Attached to your agenda, it looks like it's the third page, the underlined portion is the proposed amendment to the legislation. As you'll recall, in the last meeting, it just indicated to share information with the Department of Labor. And since that work group got together, we did add quite a few more specifications to that. So let's take a moment to look over that, and we'll open the floor for a discussion.
Would it be helpful, Jan, if Michelle or one of the members of the council recap the last meeting in 60 seconds or less? I heard it was up.
I read through the minutes of the last meeting, but any place you could fill in would help because I'm going to be getting up to speed for the next couple of meetings. So thank you.
You want to recap?
Yeah, absolutely. Unless any members would like to.
No, feel free.
Okay. So essentially, this started a few months ago. The Department of Workforce Services currently participates in a Workforce Enforcement Council with our partners at the Utah Tax Commission, the Labor Commission, and the Department of Commerce. We meet every other month or quarterly and talk about misclassified workers. So individuals that should be considered employees under the employee protection laws, but are being treated as independent contractors. So So in that council, we share our investigations for workers that have been identified as misclassified, and then follow up with our respective agencies. The Department of Labor Wage and Hour Division, which oversees enforcement of the Fair Labor Standards Act, attends these meetings, but they currently do not have statutory authority to receive that same report of misclassified workers that have been identified. So the proposal was to provide that information to the Wage and Hour Division. And in our last meeting, I know there were some concerns from the entire council just regarding what information was shared. And those seem to be, those concerns were detailed in the minutes from last meeting. Is there anything else y'all would like to add?
The only thing that I would add is, just to provide some history, this group has been a very, very jealous group as it relates to the data that has been provided by employers. And is, we've been very, very reticent to get behind anything that authorizes that data to go out for any other purposes. I think that we had numerous people that tried to get into that data, and as employers, we felt like, look, we provide this data for a specific purpose. It's not to be sort of widely distributed. And so I think that that was the crux of the concern, and it didn't help that the debt collectors got their hooks into the data and now have made 27,000 some odd requests. I think it was about 27,000 requests for information out of this database. So as we met at that follow-up meeting, I think that there was consensus that the way that or exactly what data is shared over with Department of Labor needed to be specified, and it looks like we've done that in the statute. But I would note that there were a couple other things as well that we're hoping are going to come in the MOU as well. And that is that the way that data is used needs to be restricted only to the Department of Labor. We don't want that data being shared with other agencies. And so that needs to be a part of that MOU, so that they know, DOL knows, we can't take this and now go share it with the IRS or other folks. It should be limited only to that particular organization. And I think the other thing that the group said was, it's important that we're getting something back as well, to make sure that there's some value to the state in providing that information. I think that's kind of up to management to decide what that is, but we ought to be getting something back in return from the Department of Labor, whether they're sharing data with us. And I think, Michelle, you indicated they currently are sharing some data with us.
Yeah, and in talking to Joseph Dula and Teresa Wilde with the Wage and Hour Division, that we're also with that work group, they would continue to share misclassified workers that they've identified on their end for us to follow up with. So we did specify that somewhat in the statute under, I guess, Section P, the original, the bulk of it, the last part, that the information is subject to the payment of costs described in 20 CFR 603(8)(d). And so that particular section of the federal regulations talks about either paying for the cost of retrieving the data or providing information that's equal in value in a reciprocal agreement.
Sorry, where were you reading from? Okay.
It's a little misleading because it talks about cost.
Use it, Paul, last page.
Got it.
Yep.
What page was that again?
Last page.
And so it's
page 3.
Looks like it's cost. Janet, looks like it's in the amended section.
Okay.
But I think those were kind of the three principles that we talked about. Is that right, Dale?
Yeah, that's right, Dale. And I didn't see it here, but I did remember that the stipulation that they could not share with other federal departments was going to be in the MOU, and we're good with the department just writing the MOU.
And that's definitely something that we've committed to should this go forward. It's not unprecedented. In fact, the Wage and Hour Division currently has an MOU with the Utah Labor Commission. And one of the blocks that they've run into is we share our information with Utah Labor Commission, but we have it very clearly articulated that Labor Commission cannot turn around and share it with Wage and Hour. So we would expect to have that same arrangement.
You just don't want the data going to multiple agencies. And it seemed like as we met with Department of Labor that they were okay with that as well, that they didn't have intent to distribute it to anyone else, but it's always nice to have intentions, and it's even better to have contracts.
Yeah, exactly. What are they planning on doing with the information? What do they say?
And so they're hoping to do, they currently already do audits with employers to see if they're in compliance with the Fair Labor Standards Act. So they would use this to maybe target some of their investigations to entities that have known, that are known to us as a DWS agency, mm-hmm. that have misclassified workers.
So to Dave's point, are they going to do that internally with DOL, or are they going to contract that with another entity to go do the investigation?
And so the impression that I received from our meeting that it would be an internal?
Yeah, the DOL would. The information, what I understood, would not be the Department of Labor.
And Michelle is being far more diplomatic than I would be.
That's what she's supposed to do.
DOL wants us to do their job for them, is in essence. They know that we have done, DWS has done a lot of work. They've identified where these misclassified workers are. And they're saying, look, it's a whole heck of a lot easier for you just to tell us who they are than us to go out and find them ourselves. And so, I mean, I think realistically that's what they're wanting. I don't blame them for it. I mean, it seems like an efficient use. And as long as they're targeting those folks that are truly misclassifying and not using it as a tool to go out and harass legitimate employers that are, you know, out there trying to earn a living.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's the purpose, not to be used for a fishing expedition, because the work that you guys do here is so quality that they can just take that and move forward on their end for what they're doing and things like that. So I don't see that as being a problem, but it's always a concern.
And then just to clarify, in the proposed statute, we do specify that we're only going to provide them with aggregate information, so we wouldn't actually provide our audit report to show who we talked to and all the details that were discovered. So they would need to conduct something of their own investigation.
Mm-hmm. So with those caveats, I can say that I'm okay with this moving forward.
Did they make any mention of how they would operationalize this approach? I mean, if they're going to do investigations, are they going to have local staff here in Utah that want to go out and talk to employers, or how's that going to work? Yeah.
And so I don't think we delved into those details with them. I know they do have an office down at the gateway, so they do have local staff.
There's very few people, though.
That's why they love this approach, because in essence, they're going to have some pretty good starting points to be able to direct a few resources that they have at targets that have a high likelihood of finding some misclassified.
Yeah.
Oh, this is Dee. Can I just add that I see it as efficiency in government. We all want efficiency at both the state level and the federal level. And to me, this seems like a way to facilitate that.
Yeah, they're ultimately going to stand on their own investigation. Right? They'll take the information, make their own decision on who they're going to investigate, then they'll do their own independent investigation, make their own decision. So they'll still have to do the work. It's just that they won't spin their wheels as much figuring out where to do the work.
Are they doing this in other states already? Or?
I think sorry is stated to a certain extent, but we should also always keep in mind that there was a cost involved in DWS obtaining the information, putting together the information. And so I appreciate this point. point that they've been guarded with the data and how it's shared and that type of thing, but we can always keep a value on it too. And it's good to share, but you've got to make sure that we're both sharing equally.
Well, that's one question I guess I'd have would be the equally. In terms of the numbers of that we're going to be reporting on them, what do we expect to get back from them? I mean, we're probably the entity that's going to come up with a lot more than they are. In fact, I don't even know how they develop their leads on misclassification. But theoretically, it's they're going to share what they've got. Whether what they've got is equal to what we give, I doubt it.
Well, and I think that as we draft the memorandum of understanding, I think that the thought was is that we're going to go into this. The statute authorizes DWS to do this, but doesn't require.
Right.
So maybe we get a year into this, and I would suggest that this comes back to the council periodically just to give a report as to how it's going.
Good. Yeah.
And that way, if we get a year into it and we say, look, we're not getting anything of real value back, it might be, okay, we'll share the report, but there are going to be some costs that you're going to have to reimburse us. And that's going to be the value, since you're not providing us with any useful data coming back in our direction.
Mm-hmm. And the proposed statute, as it is written, would give us that flexibility.
Mm-hmm. I just love the federal government.
Yeah.
I just want that to be on the record.
I'm always sensitive to the fact that we're out doing field audits.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing the work that we do, and then we're turning it over, a part of the information over to the feds, and then are they going to, DOL going to go out and target these employers, and are they going to put two and two together and say this is actually DWS that is coming after employers, because they're going to connect the dots. I mean, if we have findings when we go out and do our audit, they're going to know that it came from us. So are they going to connect the dots back to us, and we're going to have problems?
Well, anybody who's astute enough to look at the statute would recognize that information could be going there.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I think it's important, John, that we this is, we're going into this, we're going to see how it works, and if it works, great. I'll tell you, if I start hearing from my member employers, and they start screaming about, look, we never
auditing,
we never saw the feds, and all of a sudden they're all over us all the time, then you're probably going to hear me screaming about, what are we doing here? I don't think that will be the case.
Yeah, I think a review of it every year, at least, every 6 months is warranted, but I think we need to put it in place and see how it works. There's a million things that could. Hopefully it works out the way we think it will work out, and we get a few of these bad actors out of the picture, and good actors take their place the way we go.
Yeah.
And realize the first question that I would ask my member if they called is, well, have you been misclassifying workers?
Okay.
And if their answer is yes, then I feel real bad for you, but.
Of course, their answer is going to be absolutely not.
That's right.
You know that, Dave. Never do that.
Never. Well, I know my guys. Never.
There you go.
So, with the changes that have been made since the last discussion, does everyone feel comfortable with what's there? And support us reviewing it annually, making sure that it's working the way it's intended to work? Does everyone feel comfortable with that?
I think so. We do.
Call for a vote. All in favor of the changes and as it reads currently?
Could I just add one thing to that? And that is,
yes.
That is that, again, just to make sure that it's on the record about we want in that MOU some language that limits their ability to share, and we want to make sure that we're evaluating the value proposition on at least an annual basis to make sure that we're getting fair value back. The other things contained in the statute, but I want those things to sort of be on the record so that.
Has there been any discussion on the development of the MOU yet, or?
Just the provisions that you've discussed, that we would include those, that we would make sure that they aren't allowed to share the information any further than that. And then we'd have the cost agreement in there that they're either in kind giving us information or they're paying for our costs and collecting information for them. But as far as actually drafting the language, we haven't gotten that far yet.
Do we have any input on that before it's actually finalized? And can we take a look at it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Take a look at it, it's fine. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll draft it up and try to capture what this group would like to see included, and then if we're missing something or you want to add to or strike, we're happy to work with you on it.
Great.
So we're not as big a hurry for that as we are on this one.
Yeah.
Right.
Can we do that? So I would make that motion, which is that we take a position of support on the statute with the proviso that we have an MOU that addresses both the value proposition and the limiting of the distribution of the data.
I'll second that. The only word I have is to limit it or forbid it, because I thought we made a agreement that they would not share that information with any other agency.
Right. Yeah, I think that's better.
Yeah.
Okay, we have a motion.
Along with the annual review, would there also be periodic reports to the council?
And so if that's something the council would like, I'd be happy, should this move forward, to commit to reviewing it in our next meetings.
You want something quarterly, or what would you like to see?
Mm-hmm. I don't know if we'd have anything back.
It probably wouldn't.
I think it's gonna take a little bit of time to see how
quickly can they upstart the program.
Yeah, how it's developing and things like that. But yeah, I would say a minimum of annually and more often if you feel like it's necessary.
And then just for clarification on that, our meeting with the Workforce Enforcement Council is generally every other month or quarterly. Mm-hmm. And so in terms of providing an update, it would be less than that.
Okay, we've got a motion with Dave, and we got a second on the table with Dale. All in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
Folks on the phone, do we hear two ayes?
Aye.
Okay. Any opposed? Okay, looks like we've got a plan. Thanks for working with us on this.
And thank you for your support and sharing the data that we spent so much time working on and providing. We appreciate that you see value in this data.
And your opinion means a lot on the Hill, so we appreciate your input, because we use your input frequently on things that we're running or running through our committee, so we appreciate your work with us on this. Any other items that for the good of the group? Short and sweet.
That's what it should be.
You adjourn.
Oh.
So you are adjourned. Thank you all for being up with us.
Thank you.